Welcome back to the Roosh Report podcast. I am very excited about this episode. The first World Tour rider that we've had, I believe, on the podcast. And it's Liana Lippert, the young Sunweb rider from Germany. If you're watching the Tour Down Under, you will have seen that Liana got a podium result. I think she sewed up the King of the Mountains jersey as well. Multiple podium finishes in, I think, at least two stages. What really impressed me about her performance was, in a similar way to Voss, she was contesting sprint finishes, flat sprints, behind Chloe Hosking, who's the best female sprinter at the moment, a pure sprinter. And then also she dropped, then the next stage, Liana dropped Amanda Spratt up a hard climb and was really driving up a hard climb. And I think the combination of those two things really stood out to me and impressed me. And I thought, she is a rider to watch and is going to go places. So I thought after Tour Down Under, I'd really like to interview her. I think she's an up-and-coming talent. And this is an interview from Friday, the 24th of January, kindly facilitated by Lucas at Sunweb. So we recorded it, and during that podcast, Liana said, I think of myself as a 2 to 3 minute power rider up climbs, and the steeper the better, and I really like the Ardennes Classics. And we'd seen evidence of that in the Tour Down Under. So I thought, let's be a bit strategic about the release of this podcast and wait till after the Cadel Evans road race, which you will know has a really hard Shalumbra climb in it with steep pinches. It was brutal weather today, so brutal in fact that they couldn't get the helicopters up to relay live coverage. And so we were seeing basically really grainy and terrible footage, unfortunately, from the back of the motorbike off Robbie McEwen's iPad via Skype. But we saw enough to see at the end of the Shalumbra climb, Lippert broke away, I thought, the Sunweb were riding really strong, and their team was so strong in Tour Down Under, the best team at the Tour Down Under, with Leah Kirchmann and Lebou and Lippert. And they set up Lippert really well at the end of that climb. And like you're going to hear on the podcast, that 2 to 3 minute power was too much for Spratt, too much for Lucy Kennedy, Ruth Winder, Taylor Wills, Brody Chapman, who won the Torquay race on Thursday. And yeah, Lippert just put in a massive performance in the rain, terrible conditions. Maybe the training in Germany and Europe helped a little bit more compared to the American and Australian riders. But yeah, she won by, I think, 20 to 25 seconds. Cadel Evans road race, world tour level, fantastic result. Here's the interview. I hope you enjoy it. There's lots of interesting things we've touched on, particularly the rest of her race program and what she's targeting for the rest of the year. Hi, Liana. Thanks for joining me. Welcome to the Roosh Report. First things first, massive result at Women's Tour Down Under, first sort of major race of the season. What was the race objective for you and Sunweb before the race started? Were you expecting to go for podium on GC?
Hey, first of all, thanks for having me here. In our team, we're like expecting to be really good because we came with a pretty strong team and also with more riders which are able to be that good in a GC race. So we were hoping for the podium, but for me personally, I'm still surprised or happy that I managed to become second in the end.
And was the plan for, because I was watching the stages and it looked to me, Was it Leah Kirchmann? Sorry, I can't pronounce. I'm not great with German names. Her name was was she your GC leader? Like before the race, was that the plan?
Well, we had more like an open plan. It was like that we ride for Leah, me, and also for Juliet in the GC. But for the bonus seconds, for sure, we have the best card to go with Leah because she can beat some other good sprinters, and for me it's really hard and I have to put a lot of efforts in. In our team we do it quite often and we go for the bonus seconds because now you can also see it was really like a tight finish. So we started with that, and I think that's a really good strategy what we are doing there. And I also could manage to get some seconds, but it was actually quite open. Like we were like, we have three numbers and we'll see who can do the best or who we're going for then.
Okay, like Ineos, sort of Ineos style with multiple GC people and see who's going to be the leader. That's kind of like, I'm watching Men's Tour Down Under, now, and you know how Mitch was Scott, obviously Daryl Impey won last year just, and those intermediate sprints, because it's, those intermediate sprint seconds really decide the GC. And
They're sort of doing a similar thing now with, because I was surprised they had Simon, or was it one of the Yates brothers? He's now fourth on GC, and he was taking up some of the intermediate or the sprint seconds. So it seems like Mitchelton are kind of doing a similar thing.
Yeah, I think it can really make a difference in the end. Sometimes a second can make a lot of places difference, especially like if you watch the result of our race now. And I mean, now it was only 5 seconds in the end. So yeah, it was really tight.
And you mentioned that sort of competing in the sprints, sorry if I'm misquoting you, you mentioned it's like a bigger effort for you. So you don't view yourself as like a sprint type rider?
Well, I think I can also have a punchy sprint, so it's not that I'm really bad in it, but it's more, yeah, if like sprinters like Louis Hosking and Hentala went for it, so it was really hard for me like to get a second. If like the big names also went for it, so that's why we first like choose to go for Leah. But I think in general I can also really have a punch to sprint because I'm really explosive, so yeah, can be good out of a group. I think I can also win a sprint.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, because you came, I think you came second, this is on the stages, so seventh,
yeah,
with on the stage Chloe Hosking won, which is more of a traditional sprint stage, third in a group with Winder and Spratt, was it? And then third stage, you came second. So, like, you were obviously contesting every finish, and you'd have to have a good kick to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, did you, stage three is, I think, like, tactically the most interesting for me. Did you, what was the plan with, because you were maybe 5 seconds behind on GC third before that stage, and Leo was 24 seconds back. Did it change the Sunweb strategy to get you, make sure pretty much ride for you on GC, or was it still a mixture of between you and Leah?
In that moment, like, actually we knew that stage three is more something for me because I'm really good in uphill finish. Well, now it was not really a steep climb. Normally I like steeper uphill finish and a bit shorter usually, but still the team decided to go for me in that stage, and also everyone was like working for me from the moment on, because it was not long anymore, and for sure we wanted to go for the win for the GC. So from that moment on, it was more like the focus on me, and the others also stay close in the GC.
And so you said, you think you prefer, or you're best at a sort of steeper finish. Where do you see your power profile, like strengths?
My really best effort, I can really do like 3 minutes really full gas, and that's what I can do the best. So like the Ardennes climbs, or also in the Netherlands, the punchy hills. Yep. And I can really like do that, especially if it's an uphill finish, and even more. But I think that's the best, like 3-4 minutes. That's my best power.
And that's pretty useful for, I mean, I always think for the majority of riding, unless you're sort of Van Vleuten, Van der Breggen or Bernal on sort of a GC race where you want to have 40 minute 1 hour power, for the majority of races, like, I wish I had really good 2 to 3 minute power is where you sort of the most useful for actually winning races, I guess.
Yeah, I also think with this quality, like with my explosivity, I can be really happy because you can win a lot of races. Now I just need to learn more how to win races, because I think I'm in a really good shape, and I could have done even better in some stages. I did some mistakes, but learn out of it, and now I need to really take the next step in it.
And what mistakes do you mean by that, like pulling a turn when you think you should have sat on, or following someone up the road quicker?
No, there was more in the final, how I rode, for example, in the second stage, I'm like, I saw that my Nesbitt's teammate came back, so I kept on pulling a bit. And also then I really need to like stick to the basics, like take one side of the road, because now I was in front and then I started sprinting too early, and also I didn't pick a side. Like, there are still things I really need to focus on and learn, and also it needs to be automatism more. But I'm still young, but for sure I try to learn quick to win races as well.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I think, do you mean that stage where you sort of use were sprinting from the back of the group, and then you, it was like the road was curving around to the right hand side,
yeah,
and you went to the left hand side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah, and also on stage three, when I became still second, I had to go around a lot of riders because I also wasn't in the best position, and it was also a big effort that I came even that close because I came pretty far from the back, and I had to go a lot around everyone on the ride. So yeah, so that was still a pretty good sprint, and I came really close. And I think if I would be in a better position, it could end up even better. So yeah.
So what's the rest of 2020 look like for you? Do you have the whole race program already set out, or just the next few months?
So now we first go back to Kapi to have some more training. We have a training camp with the team, and then I will start my season with Strade Bianchi and Trofeo Binder. So I skip Nieuwsblad and Hageland to like recover a bit and really come back in a really good shape. And for sure, my highlights of the year, and especially of the spring, is then to do the Ardennes Classic, because these are really my type of races and my type of climbs, and I want to be really good this year there.
Did you see that finally, I think, Liège and Flèche Wallonne, actually the women's races are going to be televised in full, I think?
Mm-hmm.
That news came out this week. So I saw that on the Reddit Peloton thread, and everyone was pretty happy about that. Because, like, Marianne Vos has won, well, I think, won Flèche Wallonne like 10 times or something crazy.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So I noticed your cool. cadence was pretty high. Like, you're always running good cadence, even on the climbs.
Yeah.
Maybe I was just looking at an isolated example of it. But is that just a natural thing, or do you make a conscious decision to ride a higher cadence?
That's really natural. Like, I just always ride a high cadence. I'm always over 100, and especially in climbs, I just really like it to spin. And I just like it to have a high cadence, and I think it's also a good thing to have it, and so I keep it.
Yeah, and maybe, like, I personally think, right, all things being equal, riding a higher cadence will mean that your legs are fresher in the finale,
yeah,
compared to if you're riding around in a lower cadence at higher torque the whole race, you won't have as much snap.
Yeah, that's also for sure true.
So have you liked being in Australia? I know it's pretty hot and humid, like, it's been, especially now, I'm in Brisbane, I'm not sure if you know where that is, it's like in the tropical area near the Gold Coast, and it's just disgustingly hot at the moment. Have you enjoyed being in Australia, just sort of as part of training and having the first race here?
Yeah, actually, it's my first time in Australia, and I really liked it. And also, weather was, we were really lucky, like, it was not too hot. When we arrived, we had like 3 or 4 days, like, when it was really hot on the limit. But in a race, it was pretty okay, and it was really not too bad. And otherwise, yeah, I really enjoy it. It's a really pretty country, and it's really cool here.
Any highlights? Did you go to all the riders seem to have been like holding the small native Australian animals at the two down under?
Exactly. I also did it. And today I also saw my first koala in a tree on the trainings ride. And we were all really excited, and we had to stop to watch the koala a bit. And it was really cool.
Yeah, Adelaide is insane, how you got the center of the city, and then you can ride maybe 6 kilometers in a straight line out, and on the first climb you can see koalas in the tree. I find it crazy.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, you just have to ride a little bit out of the city, and then, yeah, it's really quiet, and so many nice roads, and, yeah, not a lot of cars, and it's really, I think it's a really nice place for training.
How does it compare, just from my personal interest, because I've actually never trained or ridden in Europe in the classic place, you know, Calpe, Mallorca.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually never ridden in Europe. How does Adelaide compare to riding in those sort of places?
We have like not as big roads, so the roads are really big here and wide, and also like in a race it makes it really a big difference. Like in Europe it's really a war because it's getting narrow somewhere, and here it's just like on big roads you can come really late and before a key moment. And yeah, in Europe's a lot of narrow roads, and yeah, it's just like big main roads, and yeah, that's actually a difference. Here you have like also, even in the grid, we had really wide corners, and yeah, that really makes a difference also, I think.
Would you say this is a breakout result for you at Tour Down Under? Because I was thinking, did something change in maybe the last 6 months to a year? Did your were you able to handle like a much higher training load as you've like gotten older, gotten more kilometers in the legs, or do you think it's just natural progression?
Yeah, I think I actually always made a step every year. For now, it feels like that I'm always getting a bit like also a bigger engine, because for sure, yeah, I'm training more, but it's really like really under control, not too much. It's just I think our team is doing really well in that. With young riders, to not blow them up and just build it up steady. And so, yeah, for now it looks good as I did another step, and I had a really good winter also, some training camps, and but also some good rides at home in the cold. But yeah, for now I'm really happy with the shape.
What did a typical training week in December look like for you before you take, before you came to Australia? Like what, if you don't mind, like what sort of rides were you doing typically? What efforts were you doing within those rides?
Well, now I just came from Mallorca. We had a camp with the national team, so I was there for almost 10 days, and yeah, I did like some efforts on the climbs there, like paced the climbs good, and some efforts on a threshold, some sprints, like really a lot. Kind of different things, and yeah, also it's really important for me to keep my explosivity, and so to do efforts like this to keep it.
That's interesting, because like traditional thinking is all about, oh well, off season you just go out and do like 40 minutes, 2x40 minutes tempos, you do that every day, whereas modern training thinking is like, no, you should keep training your sprint during the off season. Yeah. And I looked at Egan Bernal's off season, and he did sprints every single ride, just about. And it's like, well, if he's in the off season and doing sprints and he's not even a sprinter, then explosivity is just, it's just so important for winning races. Yeah. No matter what type of rider you are, so you should be training it, I guess. So are you in possible contention for the Olympic team
in Germany? It's not picked, but we know that we have 4 spots for the road race and 2 for the time trial. So I hope I'm part of the team. Yeah, I think we have a pretty strong team in Germany, and also a lot of strong riders, also when it goes up. So I think we will have a really good team over there, and I hope I'm part of it, sure.
Yeah, that's why, because when you were talking about your power profile, I was thinking, oh, well, what you're describing sounds pretty well suited to the Olympics race. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'd be interesting. I can't wait to watch that Olympics road race. It's gonna be crazy. The Dutch squad, do you reckon anyone could beat the Dutch squad?
Yeah, it's so really hard, I think.
I know.
Yeah, I think the Dutchies will have a super strong team there. I think all of them can win the race even. So yeah, it's always a bit hard to beat the Dutchies, but I think we can also bring a pretty good team, and also a really young team. That's maybe a bit the difference, because the Dutch team won't be as young as our team, I guess. So
what do you think would be the way to, you know, a team with Marianne Vos, Annemiek van Vleuten, Van der Breggen, and who else would they have? Lucinda Brand, maybe. Sort of, maybe if they send someone a break, you just got to follow the break. Or maybe if they send a rider you don't think will win, don't follow the break. It's hard. Like, trying to think about how you would counter their strength.
Yeah, I think it's really hard, because it's a bit like worlds. It's always a bit different than a normal race. Like everyone wants to be there, and nobody wants to miss a break, because sometimes I also have a communication like radio over there. But like at Europeans, you also saw it in the past that some teams like didn't know exactly how big the gap was, and then in the end they almost made it. Like, they are always a bit more surprised, I would say.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. And well, European Championships, that'll probably be be before the Olympics. And then there's still World Championships as well. And the World Championships is obviously hilly as well. So that'll probably suit you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Europeans and also Worlds because it's also not so far from my home. So both of these courses look really cool and interesting. So I think it's going to be really an exciting year.
Will you be riding La Course as well?
No, probably not because it's just before Olympics. And yeah, I don't know if I do the Olympic Games for sure, but if then I guess maybe we are like just traveling early already to there. And so now it's not on the roster, but you never know, stuff changes.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks very much for joining the podcast. I think that's a lot of useful information, some great insights into, I guess, the Women's World Tour, particularly how Sunweb approached the Women's Tour Down Under. Is there anything else you'd like to say or get across and or things to look out for people following the Women's World Tour in 2020?
There's nothing on my mind right now, actually. I think you asked already everything, so yeah.
Thanks to Liana for joining the pod. I hope you enjoyed listening to that. I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is if you want to win a lot of races, especially ones with steep pinches in them and uphill finishes, having that 2 to 3 minute power is one of the most important, is probably the most important thing to train for. And Lippert clearly has that given how well she performed in Tour Down Under and now the Cadel Evans Road Race. I'm pretty excited to see whether there will be a changing of the guard in the Ardennes Classics, Flèche Wallonne particularly, which Marianne Vos has dominated for just the best part of a decade now, whether someone like Lippert can actually dismantle her from the well-established throne that Vos sits on. I can't wait to see that. Flèche Wallonne will be covered in full this year and televised in full, thankfully. But otherwise, it seems to me the German team will have to pick Lippert for the Olympic Games, for the road race. She would have to be a shoo-in, even their protected rider for that race. Will she be good enough and the German team be good enough with Lea Kirkman, who'll probably get picked as well, to dethrone the Dutch team, who have been dominating women's cycling in the Olympic Games and World Championships and European Championships for years. But I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Apart from being really interesting in terms of the cycling knowledge and the insights she gave, Liana was very down to earth as well. So I really enjoyed it myself. Make sure you go and congratulate Liana on Instagram. This has been the Rouge Report podcast interviewing Liana Lippert. And I'll see you later. Ciao.